Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. It's good to be live again tonight. Of course, last week we had a recording of our Christmas night or Christmas Eve program, and the studios were all shut down for the holidays. And personally, I'm glad to not have to be out on the roads on New Year's Eve. But I trust you're listening tonight. You had a safe New Year's Eve and a good New Year's Eve. And what a year it's turning out to be already. I tell everybody every year, it seems like the last several years, that I don't see how the next year can be any worse than this last year. And a year later, I'm always saying, you know, last year I didn't think it could be any worse than it was last year, and it was. And so I'm reluctant to say that again because, yes, last year was worse than the previous year, and we're already getting off to a start this year with a lot of things going on. We'll address some of those things in the program tonight, but before we get into all that, we've got some other things to talk about, some other things to look at here this evening. And, of course, it's good to have you with us tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here with us here this evening. Also want to let you know that you can give us or check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me and the program, but you can also find out about our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can link to our church webpage from our page at livewithpastoral.com. And in addition to that, you can listen to past programs. We've got our Friday programs there. We've got our Sunday programs, both the first hour, the 10 o'clock hour, and the 11 o'clock hour, which is our Sunday night program, or I'm sorry, our second hour program on Sunday night. And this one, we have all that available at livewithpastoral.com. As well as a number of articles that are there. And just checking here, and the last article I have listed there is The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well. But I do have another article, which I'll be talking about tonight, The Curious Case of Cain, if you remember him. Cain is the first child born in the Bible, and he's also the first murderer in the Bible. And so I've got an article about him, drawing some thoughts from Cain, the life of Cain, some things that are said about him, and so how we still are affected by him today. So I'll be talking about that probably sometime tonight as well. And of course, then there's other things that you can find all at livewithpastoral.com. Let me encourage you, check that out. There's also a listing of a number of our social media sites there. And I know we're on a number of things. As I was going to mention, Facebook, I know that the article, The Curious Case of Cain, is posted on many of these sites, Facebook and some of the others. What was it? I was just getting ready for the program tonight. I opened my computer up after church and saw that YouTube sent me a New Year's greeting saying that they threw off another one of our programs, one of our, not our programs, but our church services, that we had a church service on YouTube. We've been doing our church services on YouTube, and I need to get a way that I can do Sunday morning and Sunday evening services on Rumble rather than YouTube, because we do our Friday night Bible study on Rumble. Rumble's not throwing you off. We're thrown off from some program back in March or May, I guess it was May of 2020, where supposedly we had some medical misinformation. And if you don't think censorship is alive and well, you know, the sad thing is, and I got some other thing I want to get to as well, but the sad thing is, you know, we were talking about this once, I think it was a couple of months ago, maybe, I think it was in the fall, where we had a program from December of 2019 thrown off the air or thrown off from YouTube, a Friday night Bible study, I believe it was, because at that time we were doing those on YouTube as well. And we were thrown off for medical misinformation because we were addressing the fallacy of the anti-vax position in regards to a measles epidemic in the Samoan Islands in the South Pacific and how the anti-vaxxers caused a measles epidemic in the independent country where literally within sight of Samoa, in the American territory of American Samoa, they had no measles epidemic because they had a high vaccination rate. And because of anti-vaxxers, the vaccination rate in Western Samoa had dropped down to a tiny fraction, resulted in the number of deaths of children, mostly under the age of five, because of this. And it wasn't until they began a crash vaccination program that they were able to stem the death toll from the measles epidemic in Western Samoa. And that all got lost, of course, because COVID came on the scene just a few months later. And we had been talking about it and talking about some, you know, the arguments made against all vaccines. And I'm not somebody who's pushing the COVID jab because I don't think that's something that we should be pushing. But there is a place for vaccines. They do have some efficacy. And like all things, there are drawbacks and there are side effects. And with any medical treatment, whether it's a vaccine or a vitamin pill, there always has to be a case of weighing the good versus the bad, the potential for good outcome versus bad outcome. For instance, I like to take aspirin when I have a headache. But if somebody is a teenager, I'm not going to give them an aspirin, even though it works well for me, because, you know, there's, I think it's Reye syndrome or something that teenagers can be prone to from taking aspirin. And so the risk of that is worse than dealing, you know, with the headache or the lesser risk of taking ibuprofen or something like that. So, you know, we're always making decisions, so weighing the risk factors. Is the risk of doing this the risk of something good outweigh the risk of something bad? And the COVID-19 shots, I think we've clearly seen that for the vast majority of the population, the shot, the risk of something bad happening is far, 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 astronomically far greater than the risk of good things and or the potential for good things. So just on a risk-benefit basis, I would reject the COVID vaccines because, you know, just there's just too much danger of a variety of things, including sudden death, which we're seeing lots of people dropping dead because of these vaccines, that they never should have gotten it, and the government never should have mandated it. But I digress. Getting back to some of these other things, we were talking about something completely unrelated to COVID, but Facebook right now, of course, or not Facebook, but YouTube, on their jihad against anything and anybody that would dare make a question against the establishment, against the left. You know, they want to wipe out anything because the last thing that they want on some of these social media platforms is critical thinking or discussing and trying to actually look at the facts of things. Well, anyway, that's a whole digression that I did not intend to go on to here tonight, but let me get back to the focus of the program. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, and let's do what we should have done to keep us back on track, and that's open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Thank you for opportunity to serve you. We just pray that you would continue to bless and enable it to be possible for us to continue to use this means to reach out and to encourage people and to point people to Christ and to help believers in their walk with you. Bless the program tonight. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said before, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm the host, Pastor Al Davis, and you can call us tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we've got Nancy waiting patiently to be our first caller of the new year. Nancy, Happy New Year to you.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year to you, Pastor Al.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. And I was trying to call you last week, as you know, and I didn't know that it was going to be a rerun.
I shared that with a couple of people. I said, Nancy gave me a text tonight. They said, oh? And I said, yes. She said, I've been trying to call this.
Nobody's answering.
She's been trying to call for 20 minutes. But, hey, it worked out. It worked out. So I appreciate you trying to call.
I tried repeatedly. And I said, and eventually, whoever your call screener is going to pick up. And then I said, well, I'm going to send a text to Pastor Al. And then, fortunately, you answered within like 1 minute. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I was sitting there doing something on the computer and watching the clock, and I got your text there. But, you know,
I appreciate you answering.
Yeah, and it was kind of one of those things because, you know, the station, they close for the holidays and give people that work here time off. And so I was telling my wife, getting ready to come in tonight, I said, man, I've had this time off. I don't really feel like going in almost. I just kind of sit around and not have to worry. But no, I really enjoy coming in, doing the radio program. It's just getting back into it after taking some time off. It was just kind of nice. So.
Oh, sure. Well, you deserve a break today.
That sounds familiar.
Everybody needs a break, a little vacation.
Yeah, even Jesus got away for a little while. Remember, he went up into the mountain by himself. So I didn't go into the mountains.
Well, my topic today is what I was going to discuss last week, and I wanted you to add to what I came up with. A lot of people talk about having New Year's resolutions. So I was thinking, now, what are some really good Bible New Year's resolutions? And these are sort of no-brainers, you know, like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's witnessing. And then Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As a matter of some is, you know, just go to church.
Right.
But, you know, I couldn't find any appropriate Bible verse for being a good example, like living your life as a good Christian. I'm sure there's a Bible verse out there. I just couldn't find one.
Well, I mean, two things, you know, the injunction in the scripture to be Christ-like, you know, to be like Christ, more and more like Christ would be one. And certainly the idea of being salt and light in the world around us would be another. Those would be some areas talking about being a good Christian. One I'm thinking of, let me see if I can see it here. Let me turn over here to either Galatians or Ephesians. Let me take a look here. Let's see. There is a passage that I'm looking at where he is talking about what we used to be, and that should be on the top of my head here, but for whatever reason, I'm just, you know, my brain is not caught up to the new year enough that I can find that right away. Let me find it here. I'm looking for the "and such were some of you." If I can find that real quick, let me just search here real quick and see if I can find it. Sometimes searching actually is worse than trying to do it. Here we are. Mm-hmm. That's why I told you my brain had not caught up yet. It's 1 Corinthians that I'm looking for, if that's the one that I want. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and that's the one I want. I was just trying to think about something. There's a passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, okay? And this is in chapter 6. And let's go ahead and start here down about verse number 9. verse number 9.
Okay.
And again, this is something more, I suppose, that we infer, but I think it goes along with what you're saying here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9, the Bible says, Paul's writing here, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And that's quite a list there, really. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a good list that sure covers a lot of territory. But then I like what he says in verse 11, where he says, "And such were some of you," because, you know, all of us are guilty of these things, one or more of these things. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And and he's telling us this is what we were, but we've been saved and we've been cleansed from those things and set apart. And then he begins saying this in verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." In other words, I'm forgiven. None of these things are going to send me to hell. These poor people who labor under the misassumption or the misteaching, false teaching, that they're going to lose their salvation if they sin after they got saved. And usually it's you got to do enough sins. No, if you could lose your salvation after you get saved, it would only take one sin, and that would be it. Right. It'd be over. Yeah. But he says these things are lawful, not that we should go out and do them, but they're not going to condemn us because we're already delivered and we're saved. But he says all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So he's talking about we don't want to let these things get a hold of us. And so this does have to do with how we live. And as you go down through this a little bit further here, let's see, he says in verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so here he's telling us, this is what we ought to do. We ought to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, meaning we ought to live for him. We ought to show forth the light of Christ ought to radiate out of us. We ought to exemplify him in all that we say and do. And, you know, so we're talking about looking at something that talks about, you know, what was it you were saying? Is there something that talks about, you know, that how we ought to live, you know, I think, sort of godly fashion? This is kind of what he's saying here, because you know what you used to be. And you know that you're delivered from these things. It's kind of like when Jesus said in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" We're forgiven of these things, but we don't want to be caught up and come under the power of those things, that even though we're forgiven of them, that they'll take away from our ability to represent Christ to the world around us, to be a witness to people, to lead people to Christ, and all these things. We're to remember instead that we're bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to him. And therefore, you know, when you see that word "therefore," you look to see what it's there for. It's there because we belong to him. He bought us. So therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that certainly would be a good New Year's resolution, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And then can I just add one thing? Our assistant pastor, Jeffrey Podolsky, had a really good sermon tonight on lifestyle evangelism. And some people think they don't have to say a word, that they can just live the Christian life, and that will win people to Christ. But he emphasized the fact that we do have to speak. So have you heard the term lifestyle evangelism?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I had a cup of coffee before I came to left for the radio station today. You know, I didn't wave my cup past or wave the coffee can or the coffee pot past my cup, and then all of a sudden my cup magically became full of coffee. You know, actually had to do something. I actually had to pour the coffee from the pot into my cup. Mm-hmm. It didn't just magically appear there because the coffee pot looks so full of coffee and everything that my cup just naturally absorbed it. In a sense, that's what kind of people are saying with lifestyle evangelism. You don't have to say anything. You just hang around the world and the world will be so impressed with your Christ-like demeanor that they'll just be, they'll just become Christians as well.
I think some people that are just naturally shy, it is hard for them to say something.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, they can always pass out a track or something.
Oh, there's many ways. I was going to say, and there is a difference between, you know, people who are introverted and people who are extroverted in terms of sharing the gospel and hearing the gospel. And this is where we need the leading of the Holy Spirit because, unfortunately, and this is where we're really guilty in our independent Baptist circles, especially years gone by. I think we've kind of improved in this area. But a lot of our soul-winning techniques were designed by extroverts to reach extroverts. Now, extroverts are going, what's the big deal? But introverts are going, yeah, that's right. Because here's what happens. I'm not an extrovert. I just play one on the radio. But I am not an extrovert.
No,
here's the difference between introverts and extroverts. An extrovert, let's start with that. An extrovert, it's not somebody who's bold or anything. An extrovert is somebody who it gains energy by being around people and interacting with people. The opposite is the introvert, which is not necessarily shy and quiet. The introvert is the person that being around people drains them of energy. And it's being alone builds up your energy. See, an extrovert gets charged up, energized, being around people, dealing with people, and gets drained when they're alone. An introvert is the opposite. An introvert gets drained being around people, but gets charged up being alone. You know, after Sunday, I could go home and be by myself for the next several days and have no problems because it's a drain for me because I'm around people. I have to give of myself. I have to interact with people. And it literally drains me. But being alone, just getting up in the morning, sitting with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and reading or you know, whatever, and not talking to anybody, that energizes me. Some people say, how can that energize you? That just make me tired. No, and that's why I say I'm actually an introvert. I'm not an extrovert.
I am too. I get energized by being alone.
Yeah.
And being around people too much is just drains me.
Exactly.
But I like to be around people some, but not to the extent of what you're...
You got to get away occasionally to charge your batteries up again. And see, most people mistakenly think that the difference between an introvert and extrovert is that introverts are shy and extroverts are outgoing. One of the saddest cases I've ever known was an extrovert that was afraid of people. That's a bad thing. If you're an introvert and you're afraid of people, that's fine. You just stay by yourself and you don't mind. But if you're an extrovert that needs to be around people, but you're afraid of people, it's kind of like the moth drawn to the candle flame, I guess. But what I was going to say earlier and started saying is a lot of our soul winning techniques are, you know, designed by extroverts to reach extroverts. And so the extrovert with the extrovert design style of evangelism sits down next to an introvert and goes, "Hi, I'm Sam Evangelist from Glory Baptist Church. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven?" And the introvert immediately has walls going up saying, "Who is this person? Why is he all of a sudden talking to me about this?" And all these things are happening. It's not that they're not interested. It's not that they're not willing to hear the gospel. It's just that that overwhelming, you know, assault on their sense, especially if they're just sitting alone by themselves, minding their own business, charging their batteries. And so as these walls are going up, you know, Sam goes, You need to be born again. Let's talk about this. And the person's recoiling from them. And finally, Sam the evangelist goes, you know, I don't think the Holy Spirit's working in this one. I'm going to move on. And then they find an extrovert who goes, well, yeah, I've been needing to talk to somebody. And they go, oh, the Holy Spirit's working here. You know, and it's not that introverts can't reach people with the gospel, and it's not that introverts can't be reached with the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's just that sometimes recognizing that the person you're dealing with is a little bit different in their mindset, and mm-hmm. you don't want to be, you know, artificially creating barriers. You know, mm-hmm. Paul said, I'm all things to all people. I guess in this context, he would be an extrovert when he has to be an extrovert, an introvert when he has to be an introvert, you know, sometimes, you know, like I say, I got to play the role of an extrovert. I've got to push myself out there and interact with people. But left to myself, you know, I could sit on an airplane next to somebody and fly across country. And other than maybe nodding at them when they sit down, I could bury myself in a book and be perfectly happy. And then I have a friend mm-hmm. of mine, he's with the Lord now. His wife used to say, why, Frank would have a telephone pole talking to him in 5 minutes if you gave him the chance, you know, because it's just, he was such an extrovert. And mm-hmm. And we got along fine. We got along fine. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, it's just different things. You know, some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate better, you know. And
also, I think it's important to have discernment mm-hmm. when you start talking to somebody to try to assess, are they an introvert or an extrovert? I mean,
right.
Sometimes it's hard to tell right away.
Oh, yeah.
If you just meet
yeah.
somebody for the first time. But if yeah. you know, if you're sort of introspective, you know,
oh, yeah.
you can sort of analyze people. That's yeah. really helpful.
Yeah.
Because coming up to an introvert and saying, you know, first time you see him, are you saved? You know, that would just totally throw them off.
Mm-hmm.
But just getting to know them is so much, you know, and then just sort of
right,
into it.
Right. Yeah. It's just like some people dive into the pool and get it over with. Some people inch their way in. You know, and but I was going to say, too, you know, the extrovert that's sitting there by themselves is probably more than willing to have somebody come and talk to them about anything just for the interaction.
Right.
But the introvert sitting there by themselves is probably sitting there by themselves because they really aren't wanting to interact with people right now. They might be charging their batteries. They might be worn out.
Enjoying themselves.
And so, you know, and that's where you need the Spirit of God to direct you and to guide you so that we don't inadvertently turn somebody off. And mm-hmm. I had somebody come to our Bible study one time, and he said, I was an introvert once, but I got over it. Well, all of the introverts in the room, you know, kind of looked at each other because it was very clear that individual thought that introversion was shyness. And shyness mm-hmm. is something that can be a hindrance, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. It's just mm-hmm. that if you're an introvert, you can get away with it more because, you know, you don't mind not being around people. Shyness is something that, you know, can certainly be used to keep us from being the witness that we should be, you know, being timid, being unwilling to, you know, kind of put ourselves out there. Those are mm-hmm. things that the devil will use to keep the introvert from witnessing and mm-hmm. things that he can use to keep the introverts from hearing the gospel witness. But they can certainly be saved and they can certainly be used by the Lord to evangelize others to reach them with the gospel. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's just...
Well, thank you very much. You've explained that extremely well. And I bet that Terry is waiting in the wings.
Well, he is going to be our second caller for the new year. So.
I figured.
But no, that was a good question there. And I know we're coming up on a break here, but on our church newsletter that I just put together, let me just share something real quick as we're going to talk about resolutions. I said, mm-hmm. let me encourage you to turn over a new page in 2024. Let me encourage you, in fact, let me encourage you to keep turning over new pages in 2024 as you read through your Bible. Start the new year mm-hmm. afresh with not a resolution, but a commitment to read your Bible every day in the new year. I say commitment because nobody really expects you to keep resolutions. Commitments, on the other hand, we expect to keep. but do not make the commitment to me or the church or anybody else. Make the commitment to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then I put Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Well, Nancy, mm-hmm. Happy New Year to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We got a break coming up here, and don't go away. We've got another hour and a half of the program to go tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Pastor Al, I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word. Let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only learn more about me and the program, you can also link to our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, from our page there, and that's where I'm the pastor. You can also listen to past programs there. You can read some articles and things on a variety of topics, and you can, as I said, download some of the programs that we have, and just hopefully it'll be something there to be a blessing to you. Also got some word searches and things like that that are available, a list of our social media that we're on, and of course, as I said, a link to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church where I'm the pastor, and also that's the main sponsor of our program. We're also sponsored, of course, by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And of course, in addition to having, I think, the best pizza in the area, if you are interested in perhaps getting your own pizza business going maybe in 2024, or maybe you have a restaurant or something where you offer food and you would like to be able to offer some quality pizza to your customers, give East Coast Pizza a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask to speak with Gus, and he can help you get set up, not as a franchise, in your own business, and he can work with you on how you can either get into the pizza business yourself with your own shop or add pizza to sell somewhere where you currently offer food. But that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. All right. And in addition to all of that, I'd certainly want to say Happy New Year to everybody listening tonight. As Nancy said in the last half, she had tried to call in last week, but last week was a recording. It actually was a repeat of our Christmas Eve program. Pastor Lutz and I had a great time doing that, and since the studios are going to be closed down last week, I was talking to them. I said, well, just run the Christmas Eve program again, and so we had a variety of things. If you missed that program, you can go online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can go there. Down on the right-hand side of the page, you will find the part that says listen to a previous Live with Pastor Al program, and you can click on the Sunday side there for December 31st. There's hour one and hour two. If there is something in there that you want to listen to again, just go to livewithpastoral.com and click on the December 31st program there. And you can actually click on December 24th as well. It's the same program for December 24th as December 31st since we repeated it. But that's all at livewithpastoral.com. But if you'd like to give us a call tonight, join us on the program with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got Terry calling us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Now, see, Nancy was our first caller of the year. You're our first international caller of the year. How's that?
Sounds good.
Calling from Canada. Of course, you're closer to us than most of the United States are. So I think you're probably closer to us than Southern Ohio is. So you're just on the other side of the lake. So
on the other side of the lake. If you go on the other side of the lake, it's actually Chatham.
Yeah. And
where you're from.
I'm sorry?
Oh, where you're from. I think Chatham is, if you go right straight across.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, because it go up from here straight up would be take you up to Cleveland, and then right across the lake get you into that area. Yeah, so
yeah, if you want to go there, you have to go to the Ambassador Bridge first, and then backtrack to get to where you are.
Right, right. Yeah, either way, you'd have to either go through Detroit or through. I was gonna say Erie. You can't get there through Erie.
Ottawa.
You had to go. You have to go through Niagara Falls.
Right.
Yeah, the Detroit Windsor Crossing or Niagara Falls, and then come back around the lake.
Yeah. But anyway, maybe someday I'll go there.
Yeah, or you can hop in a canoe. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it this time of year. Of course, I don't think I'd recommend it any time of the year. It's kind of nice when you go out into the islands in Western Lake Erie. And I worked one summer on Kelly's Island, and you could look across, and I'm trying to think of the name of the island. It slips my mind right now, but it's the largest island in Lake Erie. And of course, it's in Canadian waters, whereas Kelly's Island is the largest Ohio island in U.S. waters. But it is kind of neat because you can see, you know, the Canadian islands right across the water there from the if you go to where the Perry Memorial is. Go up the Perry Memorial. Is kind of heavy.
Is that talking about the Thousand Islands?
No, in Western Lake Erie. Islands there in Western Lake Erie. You can go to Put-in Bay and different places like that. And that's one thing I do recommend. If somebody wants to go and visit the Perry Memorial, it really is kind of interesting. There's a great historical site there. Dealing, you know, with the War of 1812 and the different things, the Battle of Lake Erie, and then the building of the Perry Peace Memorial, and it's just whether you're Canadian or American, it's well worth the trip, and I recommend that you go all the way to the top of the tower. And they've got binoculars up there that you can look out, and if you're there on a clear day. The view is just absolutely spectacular. It's just incredible. And it's a testimony to America and Canada being able to live side by side. And it really is a tremendous testimony there. But we digress.
I was going to say Happy New Year.
Yes, thank you.
Start the year off right.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to admit that I have kept myself to reading every day.
Yes.
And I started last October.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't missed one day since.
And I
read from October to October and didn't miss one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then from October to now, I've only missed one day.
Yeah.
Because of a wedding that I went to.
Well, and
busy that day.
Yeah, and that's a good commitment there, and it's like I was telling Nancy at the end of the last half hour. I said better to make a commitment than a resolution. We don't expect to keep resolutions, but we hope and expect to keep commitments. And
we can commit it every day. We don't have to wait till New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Because most people, if they wait till New Year's Day and to do their commitment or do their what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They won't do it.
Right. You have to take a day, and you just have to start right now.
Right.
You know, if you haven't if you haven't read your Bible today, which I hope you have, especially since it was Sunday, pick it up and read something out of it. You know, I can remember when I was in college, and this wasn't Bible college or anything, this was actually a secular college, Colorado State University, and, you know, I was saved, and I wasn't living for the Lord. I wasn't in church like I should have been. And I knew that I wasn't right with God in terms of how I was living or not living as a Christian. And I had my Bible that was given to me when I was baptized when I got it, if I remember correctly, in the church that I grew up in. And Hinckley Ridge Baptist Church, not too far from where I live now. And it's a church my family went to, and I grew up in it. I heard the gospel there. I got saved through that. And I was baptized there, and they gave me a Bible, and I had that with me in college. And I looked at it, and I thought, you know, I ought to read something from the Bible every day. And I didn't commit to reading, you know, 5 chapters a day or something like that, which by the way, apparently if you read 5 chapters a day on average, just 5 chapters a day, that'll take you through the entire Bible in the course of a year, is how that works out. And that's one way to do it, but I wasn't that ambitious. I didn't even commit to reading a chapter a day. I tried and I endeavored to read at least one verse a day. And was I very focused in what I was doing? No, I wasn't. I should have been more focused, you know, had a plan. But I tell people today even, if you're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, if you're not endeavoring to read it every day, we know sometimes things happen and you can't, but at least try to read a verse or two every day and try to keep track. And that's why a chapter is even better, because you get a little more context that way. And so I would come home, you know, and I'd be out later, whatever, and I'd be looking at, I can't wait to go to bed. I got an early class in the morning. But then I would see my Bible and I would think, you know, I haven't read any of it today. And I would open it up and try to read a verse or two. Well, that might not be the best way to read your Bible and to learn from it, but it's a lot better than never touching it, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. If a person read it even an hour a day.
Yeah, or 5 minutes a day.
An hour a day is 365 hours a year.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess what I'm looking at, and I know from my personal experience with that, I found soon that if I could read a verse a day, you know, I could read a chapter a day, and besides, it's a lot easier to keep track of it on a chapter basis than as verses, you know, than just verses. And I soon found, you know, that I could do that. And if I would miss it, you know, one day, I would try to make up by reading double the next day or something like that. But at the same time, you know, when you miss a day, and you try not to, but don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I failed, I can't do it anymore, and throw the Bible down and not read it anymore. Pick it up, you know. Like the Bible says, a righteous man stumbles, you know, he falls. Says he falls, but he doesn't lay there and wallow in the dirt. Says he gets back up again. And that's what we're supposed to do. You mess up. You don't read like you thought you were going to or said you were going to. Well, tomorrow's another day. Start tomorrow fresh. Turn over a new page, so to speak, and start reading your Bible.
There's a good and a bad problem, but a good. We're all creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you know, what we train ourselves to do is what we do.
Well, and that's a very good point. That's a very good point. We're creatures of habit, and we need to train ourselves. Whether it's when I was in college, for whatever reason, I'm not a morning person. That might have something to do with it. I'd stay up too late and get up and then have to hurry to get something to eat and make it to my first class. My basic commitment was I would read something from the Bible before going to bed. And I know, you know, all the things about reading the Bible first thing in the morning and things like that, and I understand that, and that is good and commendable. But, hey, I wasn't living for the Lord. I was an immature Christian. I was saved, and at least I was reading something. Reading something before going to bed at night was a lot better than reading nothing in the morning or at night. And something that I have found is once God gets you moving in one direction, it's a lot easier for Him to steer you and to get you to do more than if you're not doing anything at all. You know, remember back when your car or truck didn't have power steering?
Yeah.
When the car's just sitting there, it's really hard to turn the wheel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But once it gets rolling, it was much easier to turn the wheel because it was moving.
It doesn't have power steering not working, it's hard to turn the corners.
Exactly. But once the thing is moving, it's much easier to turn than when it's not moving. Right. And, you know, I had a friend of mine I was working with one summer when I was in college. I was working for the Forest Service in the Roosevelt National Forest. We were in the Indian Peaks Wilderness area just below Rocky Mountain National Park, on the east side of the Continental Divide in the Rockies there. And our job was going in doing sign replacement and unblocking trails as the snow melted in the early, you know, late spring, early summer. And so we would go up into these areas, and one particular area that we were at, we were up above the tree line, and this boulder had become dislodged and rolled across the trail and blocked the trail. And it was kind of a boulder field area, and, you know, obviously people could get around it, but you had to scramble over some rocks and things like that when you had the nice trail there. So our job was to remove the boulder. which was a pretty good sized boulder. We actually had to go down below the trail line and get some pieces of wood that we could use as levers. And we had to wedge it underneath the boulder with some other rocks to you know, act as a fulcrum. And we worked at it, and finally we got the thing to start rolling, you know, start moving. And while it was sitting there, we could hardly get it to do anything. But once it got rolling, we were able to direct it and control its direction to roll it off from the path and down over the side of the mountain. Yeah, you know, fortunately, nobody down there was a wilderness area, nobody around. You know, we heard it go crashing down, watched it bounce over the boulders and finally crash into the trees below us. But we could not hardly move the thing any direction one way or the other until it started moving. And then it was relatively easy to direct. And I think that's the way we are sometimes with God. He's trying to get us to move, whether it's reading the Bible or sharing the gospel with somebody or whatever. And we just sit there. We don't do anything. It's hard for him to get us moving. But once we start moving, he begins to direct us into the path that he'd have us to go. So.
Well, I have a saying. I say, it's do it, you do it, it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my saying. Hey, like I used to lift weights a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten away from that. But I used to say to myself, when I didn't feel like going to the gym, I just say, I do it, it's done. Get it
yeah.
done.
Yeah, and that's part of the commitment that we have to have. And it's something you said earlier, we make it a habit.
Right.
And one thing
mm-hmm. I used my calendar. I started in January, and I wrote down every day that I read, how much
right.
time I read.
Yeah.
And I got a recorder. I downloaded a recorder on my tablet, and on my and I record how much time I read.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I read about I read at least an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day for the whole, ever since last October.
Amen. And
all January I've read, yeah. like I read down on the calendar every day.
And God will benefit you from that, because as you take in the Word of God like that, you may not understand and remember everything you read every time you read it, but the Spirit of God is going to be taking that stuff on the inside and starting to connect the dots and things. You know, again, when I was in college at Colorado State, I can remember going into exams, and I would feel guilty praying and asking God to help me with the exam if I didn't study like I should have. So I would say, Lord, I'm not asking you to give me answers. I'm just helping you to remember that which I did study. Because I didn't think God needed to give me divine inspiration on my test if I didn't take the time to study. And it's kind of the same thing with the Bible. It's like you said, you
study thyself to be approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed.
Right, right.
In the word of truth.
Yeah, Paul told that to Timothy. But the key there is study. You have to read it. You have to take it in. You know, you can read it. You can listen to it. You know, while you're doing other things, you can have it playing. And you take in the Word of God. And like I said, you might not understand all of it or even remember all of it, but the Spirit of God has that inside of you to work with. If you don't take it in, it's not going to be there for him to work with. We shouldn't expect him. I was going to say, he divinely inspired the word once. Now it's up to us to read it.
And I encourage people to find good preaching teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. There's a guy named Tom Bradford. I may have mentioned this to you a few years ago.
I think so, yeah.
I've been studying this guy quite a while. And I've learned more things about the Bible since I started studying this guy than I ever have.
Yeah.
And he's a teacher. He's a Bible teacher.
Yeah. And again, you know, as you're reading the Bible, and this is something, and you bring up listening to people on the radio or on the internet or whatever, as you're reading the Bible, if you're studying the Word of God, then when you hear somebody and it resonates with the Scripture, you know, it's like the Spirit is saying, yeah, listen to this guy. You'll learn, and it resonates. But
right.
when—
What I do, though, I was going to mention that I actually read. Yeah, I can listen to this guy, or I mm-hmm. can read everything he teaches. I prefer to read what he teaches.
Yeah.
I get more out of it.
Well, and it's the same thing, too. You're reading something, and it resonates. I was looking at something actually just last night, and immediately it's just like it was a jarring sensation that— this person that was writing this stuff online was claiming that this is what Christians should believe. And I looked at it, and immediately, you know, it was sending up red flags, because he was contradicting things in the scripture, making false claims. And see, when you have the Word of God in you and the Spirit of God in you as a believer, and you read or you hear false teaching, the Spirit of God is going to use that word that's in you and bring things to your memory to warn you about false teachers.
And we can discern that too. Like I believe.
Well, that's where the discernment comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, we can discern who's studying God's word and who's not studying God's word.
Yeah.
Who's of God and who's not of God. And
yeah. So it's
if we
it's,
don't know God's word.
Yeah. So it's a great protector. And a lot of Christians don't take the time to do it. Hey, we've got about 2 minutes left, I think, or just under 2 minutes. So we'll wrap up before the top of the hour there. But, no, that's a great point, to read the Word of God and to commit to spending time daily in the Word. There's a lot of good programs you can find online that, you know, where you can have a checklist and you check off what you're reading. The best ones, I think, you know, don't tell you, wait until January 1st to start this. Start right now, today, where you are. And you can
today
commit.
Today is the day of salvation.
Yeah, exactly. And you can commit to reading through the Bible in a year. I have note cards in my Bible and that I keep notes to where I'm at, because I have my Bible divided up into several sections. I'm not going to go into, don't have time right now. But And one thing that I encourage people to read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that's important. But what I do honestly right now is I read an Old Testament book, and then I follow it with a New Testament book. When I started this pattern many years ago, I started with Genesis, then I read Matthew, and then I read Exodus, then I read Mark. And
that's what I do.
Yeah, and in doing so, over time, I have read every Old Testament book in connection with every New Testament book at least once or twice.
One quick thing that I keep on, not only do I read what I'm reading, but I read it over and over and over.
Yes, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I read the same teachings. I've read this teaching that I'm right now. I'm teaching. Reading something right now, and I just keep reading it over. Chapter 2 of Matthew, chapter 2.
Yeah,
and I just read it over and over, because there's a lot there.
Yeah, and you read something the first time, you catch something, then you read other things, then you read it another time, and you see some things you didn't see before. But again, what a great reminder, Terry, that we need to be reading the Bible every day. A great way to start out the new year. Great thing to do, but we're going to go to our break here in just a moment. But thank you for calling, Terry, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. Well, God bless, and stay tuned. We've got another hour to go. Delegates gathered in Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation. Their efforts were at a standstill. It was hot, tempers were flaring, the Union was in danger of collapsing. On June 28th, an old man, Benjamin Franklin, addressed the president of the convention. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." With this reminder to seek God, our Constitution was born. Today, we've all but abandoned God and our nation. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. If our founding fathers realized they could not build a nation without God, what makes us think that we can keep a nation without God?